The worlds of science and art somehow got separated by history, and it's up to artists like Michelle Schwengel-Regala to bring them back again. Her next show was inspired by a dive trip to Antarctica. It's called Frozen Floating, and she's with us in our studio. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me here.
What was this trip to Antarctica? How did that come about?
This trip was supported by the National Science Foundation. It's an organization that I think most people think of as an organization that supports research scientists, mm-hmm. but it also has an initiative that's been going on for decades that invites artists, writers, people of different creative disciplines to apply to be a part of this program. So my collaborator, Kirsten Carlson, and I applied in 2016, and we were accepted in June of 2017 to go to McMurdo Station. That's the largest research station in American research station in Antarctica. And we were there for 7 weeks.
What a fantastic opportunity.
It was indeed.
What time of the year?
It's considered the austral summer. We were there October, November, beginning of December. So during most of those days, the sun never set during our time there. It was It was quite surreal in that regard. It was I like to call it the longest day that I've been away from my family.
Yeah, I bet. At the same time, how cold was it?
You know, you and I, Chris, have experience growing up or living in Madison, Wisconsin.
Right.
And I felt that was going to be potential good training for me to be in this cold, cold habitat. Mm-hmm. And indeed, the temperatures I experienced in Antarctica were comparable to the things I grew up with in Wisconsin. The coldest temperature in the air was something like 28, some below zero. Wind chills worse than that. But for the most part, it was in the teens most days. So it was not as extreme as I'd expected. But certainly, I was in a quite mild part of the continent.
To a Wisconsin girl, that's quite bearable.
Sure.
Temperature in the teens.
Sure.
What kind of things did you see?
It was quite strange to go from, you know, verdant Hawaii through New Zealand, another very green habitat, into a place that is almost barren. You know, you see the ice fields and maybe in the distance you may see mountains, but the color range was so different. It was shades of blue. And if you saw barren land, it would be dark rock, but there were no plants. There were few animals. It took me some days before I saw any topside animals. So it was such a shock to be in a place that seemed so desolate. But at the same time, once we were able to get our checkout dives done, once we went under the ice and we saw the marine habitat, then the color was all right there back for us.
Well, the next thing I was going to ask you after what did you see was what did you hear? And let's hear an example. Well, I think we should quiz our audience as to what was that.
Should I disclose what it was?
I think we should, yeah.
Okay. Those were the vocalizations of Weddell seals. Those are marine mammals. They're the southernmost reproductive mammals in the world. And they're similar to monk seals in their size, their general shape, a bit larger. But they are the most common creature that I saw. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. They're the only vertebrate that I saw underwater, but they would make their presence known during almost every one of our dives. We would hear those mechanical or almost alien-like sounds during every dive. And then the beginning thumping was very percussive. If they were close, if they were making quite a loud one, we would feel that vibration in our chest cavities.
Through the water.
It was amazing.
What other things did you see underwater?
You know, because of the requirements for diving, I had to do a number of preliminary dives here in Hawaii. And so I became accustomed to all the, you know, lush things that we see here. And then I wasn't expecting quite as much in Antarctica. But indeed, there was so much diversity. There were so many invertebrates of strange configurations and such a wide range of colors, you know, sea stars ranging from purple and magenta and yellows and oranges, and tunicates and giant sponges that I could almost sit inside. The scale of things was tremendous, and the sea spiders were also experiencing gigantism, this phenomenon where in isolation you may have a strange expansion of size range of a creature, and indeed that's what happened with the sea spiders in Antarctica.
Is that the same gigantism that's offered as an explanation for some of the dinosaurs of back in the day that just got completely huge?
I'll have to check and see, but the term seems like it's been applied to
I'm just wondering where if an animal evolves more or less in isolation, it can get bigger and bigger.
That sounds right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you make that into your art?
Oh.
What do you take from all this?
Because my background is first in science, I have this eye for looking at diversity, looking at, you know, comparing things. And then when I became a science illustrator, it was the kind of thing that I got to put that observation into action and make art about it. Mm-hmm. When I was down there, it was important to take photographs and take video of the creatures I was seeing and the strange habitat I was in, being under this ceiling of ice. But my collaborator, Kirsten, and I also endeavored to draw while we were underwater, so we could do some immediate direct field sketching.
Wow.
So that was one of the most challenging aspects of our time underwater.
I bet.
But we were able to do it.
What do you draw on? I can't even imagine what new materials you would use for that.
In this setup, we used a plastic type of slate that is similar to what you might find in a dive shop here, but Christian's husband modified them to be larger and to suit our needs. And then on that tablet, we strapped this synthetic paper. It's called Yupo, and it's a polyester, a plastic paper.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't degrade the way pulp paper would. And that's lashed onto it's clamped onto our tablet, and then we have just regular graphite pencils. And they would work similar to the way you would on land, and so we were able to draw. Of course, having to wear three pairs of gloves on each hand,
yeah,
and the extremely cold temperatures, it was about 28.5 degree water Fahrenheit,
mm-hmm.
that limited our ability to be as dexterous as we like
to
be on land.
I was going to say, perhaps the detail would suffer a little bit.
But. Indeed, right. And we had to regulate our time underwater. It was usually maybe 20 to 44 minutes that we would be underwater during any dive. And so we couldn't draw that entire time, but we made the most of our time underwater.
Well, for you as a science illustrator, and I noticed you were sketching just as we sat down here, it's a form of language for you, isn't it?
It is.
Drawing what you see.
Right. It is able to, with a few strokes of a pencil or whatever stylus I'm using to draw, I can recreate that experience I was in. So when I look at this drawing that I just did this morning, later, I'll remember this conversation with you. I'll remember the scenario, different details of it that I don't need to write down in words, but it all comes flooding back. So the drawing underwater has a similar effect.
When I think of, you know, some of the great scientists of the past were extremely expert draftsmen, Audubon being just one of many mm-hmm. examples, but you were expected to be able to draw what you saw in earlier days of science, right?
Mm-hmm, right, and indeed that's how I got my job as a science illustrator, that my professor saw that I was drawing what I was supposed to be learning. So I was thankful for his vision and bringing that skill out in me.
Got you a trip to Antarctica.
Eventually it did. Who knew?
Who else can he even say that, much less know what a Weddell seal sounds like, right?
Well, there are a few folks here on Oahu who have done research or have worked in Antarctica, so I'm hoping to gather them all together at this reception that will happen on Saturday the 14th.
Yeah. And just be sure to wear warm clothing.
I am suggesting that people wear knitted mittens, hats, scarves, because we're gonna chill it down in that exhibit space.
Terrific. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
Michelle Schwengel-Regala is Fishcakes Artist in Residence, and her show Frozen Floating opens on Saturday, July 14th at the Box Jelly in downtown Honolulu.